Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We've got an interesting show today. Later this hour, Illinois voters are being asked to decide whether the state constitution should be changed to allow for a graduated income tax, where people who make more money pay a higher rate. We'll take your questions on the proposal. Then, the Major League Baseball regular season ended this weekend, but baseball is not over for fans of the White Sox, Cubs, and Cardinals. All three teams made it to the playoffs. We'll recap the season and get a preview of the new playoff format. But first, alongside the COVID-19 pandemic is another worsening crisis, hunger. According to the Census Bureau data from July, about a quarter of white families in the U.S. are food insecure. For people of color, the problem is even worse. Nearly 40% of black families with children reported food insecurity. Those numbers are about double what they were pre-pandemic. Dana Cronin is a food and agriculture reporter with WILL's Illinois Newsroom and Harvest Public Media. She's been reporting on how families with dwindling incomes are putting food on the table in this very uncertain time. Dana, welcome back to the 21st.
Thanks, Brian.
And Amy Mayer is Dana's colleague at Harvest Public Media, based at Iowa Public Radio. She's also joins us to discuss her reporting on USDA changes to the school lunch program and what that looks like for students this fall. Amy, welcome to the 21st. Thanks to you for being here as well.
Thanks for inviting me.
And listeners, if you have a question for our reporters or you'd like to share your experience with other listeners, you can always join our conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. The number again is 800-222-9455. You can also, of course, always tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21ST Show. Dana, I want to begin with you. You spoke with a woman for your story who said she never had to think about putting food on the table for her family. What changed for her?
Yeah, so this woman I met for this story, her name is Janelle Pleasure. She has lived in Champaign for a long time. She has three kids. They range in age from about 10 to 16 years old. It really all changed for her in 2018 when she suffered a stroke and she couldn't focus on work in the same way because of the way it affected her brain. Her husband then left soon after that, which brought her down to one stream of income. So that's when food insecurity became a reality for the Pleasures, meaning it became difficult for them to afford food. But I will say that the pandemic has only made this situation worse. When the pandemic started, like many people, Janelle lost her job. And then that combined with her kids being out of school and losing access to school meals, that's made it even harder for her to put food on the table. Just to let listeners get to know Janelle a little bit, I want to play a clip from my conversation with her. Here she is talking about her current situation.
Had this happened and I was better off, you know, financially, or if I didn't have these health problems, or if I had a stable job, I don't think I'd be feeling the way that I feel. I wouldn't feel sad or depressed. I would be like, okay, that just means we buckle down, we tighten our belt a little bit more. There's not a belt to tighten. There's no wiggle room here. I have, you know, I'm unemployed.
Dana, there was a discrepancy between white families and families of color when it came to food insecurity in your reporting. Can you talk about those numbers?
Yeah, sure. So as you mentioned in the intro, rates of food insecurity among all groups have skyrocketed since the pandemic started. But as you said, families of color, like the Pleasures, are much worse off. And for my story, I was looking at data that the Census Bureau has been collecting via survey. The survey basically asks people how difficult it's been to afford food. And what it found is that as of late July, about 25% of white families with children struggled to afford food, while 40% of black families with children struggled. And the researcher I talked to, her name is Diane Schanzenbach. She's at Northwestern University. She said that historically, rates of food insecurity among black households are about double what they are for white households. So the pandemic hasn't necessarily made that discrepancy worse, but it has increased those rates across the board.
And do you mentioned in your reporting there that Janelle Pleasure had experienced this medical setback a couple of years ago, but obviously, as you said, the pandemic worsened it. Do we have a sense of how much of the pandemic, how many others have been put in her situation because of the pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, according to that Census Bureau data, about 1 in 4 households have experienced food insecurity so far this year. And I mean, that is millions and millions of people. Just for reference, last year, about 1 in 10 American households struggled to afford food.
Wow. And Dana, Janelle's kids also lost access to school meals?
Right, yeah. And this, you know, Amy's reporting factors in here too. But in terms of Janelle's situation, when schools went virtual, that was a really big problem for a lot of families, including the Pleasures, who rely on free and reduced price school meals. Once those were gone, Janelle told me there was a big gap, basically, in her budget. Luckily, she was approved for a program for parents like her called Pandemic EBT. It's basically just an expanded food stamps program. But I want to play another clip of Janelle. This is what she said when I asked her how much money she was getting through that program.
So I get $125 a month, and I spend way over that. But I spend literally $125 I can spend in like a week, because my kids eat like grown men, like a football team. I don't know where they put it.
So, you know, the federal assistance, while helpful, really only goes so far. And Janelle told me she's had to supplement that with visits to the food pantry to provide enough food for her kids.
If you're just tuning in, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about food insecurity and a problem that has been there for a while in America. It's always been there in America, but it's been made a lot worse by the pandemic. And we've been speaking with Dana Cronin, my colleague at Illinois Newsroom, WILL. She's also with Harvest Public Media. And I want to bring Amy Mayer, another Harvest Public Media food and agriculture reporter. She's based at Iowa Public Radio, into this story. And Amy, you looked at figures over the summer for Illinois and Iowa. Do you have an in terms of school meals, do you have any idea of how many free meals were served this summer during the pandemic and how that compared to previous years?
Sure. Yeah, I did look at some of that data. In the summertime, the program is always free. There's not eligibility requirements. So it does typically attract students. They don't even have to be students, children age 1 to 18. In June of 2019, Illinois, in that summer, in June of 2019, Illinois distributed about 1.5 million meals through that program. In June of 2020, that figure was almost 11 million meals. So just an incredible increase. And in Iowa, it was only slightly less dramatic. In June of 2019, Iowa distributed about 600,000 meals. And in June of this year, 3.4 million meals. So the demand was clearly hugely greater than it had been in the past.
And Amy, you've also done reporting on school nutrition programs. So what is the, and these are administered by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, what's the USDA's plan for feeding students this fall?
What they did this fall, although it didn't kick in before a lot of schools started, but they were able to work out through the money the USDA was managing from the CARES Act, that the summer program could be extended through the fall. There's a lot of bureaucratic differences, but the bottom line is that this idea of having to apply and be approved for free and reduced, that goes away if they use the parameters for the summer program. So they said on August 31st that districts would be allowed to provide free meals to all children until the money runs out. They had hoped it would last until December 31st. But just last week, when Congress passed the continuing resolution for the federal budget, there was language in there that should allow USDA to extend those waivers, which make the meals available to all children for the entirety of this academic year.
What happens if kids aren't in school physically, though? What if they're learning remotely?
They're still eligible for the meals, and the school food service departments have worked hard to make sure that they have either an option that can be put in a bag and handed to someone who picks up the meals for the students, or they're just always doing their meals in that sort of grab and go format. Because even in some buildings where there are students, the students maybe are eating outside or eating in the classroom instead of congregating in the lunchroom.
Amy, you also spoke with the School Nutrition Association for your story. I guess two questions on that. One, what is the School Nutrition Association? And two, how are they feeling about this USDA plan? What are some of their concerns right now with the pandemic?
I mean, the short answer is that the school nutrition program is the lobbyist for lunch ladies. That's sort of how they bill themselves. but no, they are advocates for the school nutrition programs that the agriculture department runs. And they worked really hard all summer to advocate for the extension of these waivers. The system that allowed for everybody to get free meals that was put in place in March as part of the response to schools shutting down. Distribution was different across different districts. And obviously in the spring, not all families were comfortable going to get meals from the school building. But the School Nutrition Association was pleased at the announcement that there would be an extension, but really wanted that to be for the full school year. And so now that it looks like that is in place, I think they really feel that this is going to provide meals for millions of children who wouldn't have been eligible necessarily by household income, but will really benefit from it.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that the government has taken steps to try and bolster the school lunch program, at least in light of what's happening with the pandemic. Dana, what about just the more broad supplemental nutrition assistance program, SNAP program, or food stamps as it's more commonly known? How has the pandemic highlighted areas where maybe the SNAP program is falling short?
Yeah, I think there are a couple things. One, as we heard earlier from Janelle Pleasure, it's really not that much money. It's basically a few dollars per person per day, so it doesn't cover everything. There is, however, a big fight going on in Congress right now over SNAP. Basically, Democrats want to see that benefit increase by 15%. Republicans so far have not been supportive of that. But the other thing worth noting is that when you sign up for SNAP, the paperwork requires you to write down your address and your income to make sure you qualify. And this is actually a problem for people who say were evicted or maybe didn't have an address to begin with.
And Dana, we heard that clip earlier where Janelle talked about, you know, feeding a football team through her kids, it seems like, for her. And in your reporting, you found that, you know, she's very careful not to waste things and is able to cook vegetables and herbs she has in her own garden. But, you know, not everyone has that level of gardening knowledge. Is there access to fresh vegetables for other families? Is anything being done about that?
Yeah, that's definitely a problem because, as we all know, fresh produce can be pretty expensive. And not to mention prices at the grocery store in general have gone up a lot since the pandemic started. I think there are a few options for families. First of all, a lot of food banks and food pantries are offering boxes full of food through the Farmers to Families Food Box Program. And from what I've heard from those local food banks, the boxes actually have a pretty good variety of fresh produce, meat, dairy products, et cetera. So that's one option. And then the other that I would recommend is that most farmers markets accept SNAP and WIC. WIC is basically SNAP for women, infants, and children. And right now is an especially great time to take advantage of that.
Amy, I also want to ask you about that kind of aspect of how school meals might be changing because of the pandemic. I mean, my junior high cafeteria is the only place on earth I ever saw rectangular-shaped pizza slices served. I don't know if any of you had that experience, but you know, you spoke with someone who said, you know, about vegetables. Kids are happier with fresh raw vegetables than a cup of steamed peas. I wonder, even pre-pandemic, there are criticisms over the way a lot of school districts feed kids. What about now?
I think that right now there's been a little bit of a turning down the volume on that criticism of what's in the meals, because of the recognition that the urgency to get meals to kids is so high, and none of the nutrition rules have been relaxed in any way. I don't mean to suggest that at all. But earlier in this year, just before the pandemic, I was doing some reporting on potential changes to the nutrition requirements. And in the recent reporting on school meals, I haven't heard any of that kind of discussion, because I think, although yes, it's perhaps children like to eat carrots and celery sticks more than steamed peas, no one is making any kinds of suggestions about should these changes be permanent or longer lasting. And I think there probably are some kids who actually like the peas. So I think for right now, those conversations are sort of being put on the back burner.
If you say so about those peas.
Mushy peas are a thing in some places.
Oh my goodness. We're going to go to a break before I get sick on air here. Amy Mayer is food and agriculture reporter with Harvest Public Media and Iowa Public Radio. We've also been speaking with my colleague Dana Cronin, who's a food and agriculture reporter at Illinois Newsroom, WILL, and Harvest Public Media. Dana, Amy, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your reporting us with us today on the 21st.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Coming up after the break, we're going to be taking your questions on the graduated income tax in Illinois. This is a proposed constitutional amendment. If you have questions, and we know you do, we have some from our Text the 21st group, give us a call, 800-222-9455. The phone lines are open, 800-222-9455. Questions on the graduated income tax coming up after a short break. This is the 21st. Stay with us.